Do you think we're going to get away with this tonight? Looking at that sky, it's looking a bit threatening, isn't it?
Well, we are pushing it, aren't we?
I've come prepared for all occasions here, as you can see. But, the crampons might be taking it a bit far, but
I'm not sure how many more of these outdoor recordings we're going to get away with. Actually,
I think we're getting near to the end. And bearing in mind, we're about to disappear for 6 weeks or so.
Yeah.
That'll take us into October before we can come and play outside
well,
again.
That's it. I mean, just watch out. They may not let you back in.
Well, we could always hope, can't we? Actually, it'd be the end of October. It'd be almost into November by the time we can come outside again. But you never know the weather way it is at the moment.
We'll probably have burned through another couple of prime ministers by then. So welcome to another Hidden Wiltshire podcast, where we talk about things in Wiltshire that are hidden, however you might want to define that word.
Yeah, it's the definition's getting a bit looser these days.
It is, but we're having some fun with it. My name is Glyn Coy. I am the face behind Hidden Wiltshire, and with me, as always, I have my podcasting buddy,
Paul Timlett.
And we are, well, where are we?
Well, we're not going to say, are we?
No, but
it's spectacular, isn't it? This is truly spectacular. It
very much so. I mean, I had no idea this was here for a start, so this is new to me. But
so it is hidden then?
It is hidden.
And we can explain where we are in a bit, and I'll tell you a little bit about this location.
Yeah.
The main thing is going to be the wind, because, again, we're quite exposed up here. So hopefully people will be able to hear us okay.
Let's hope.
But these mics do a pretty good job at that, so I'm confident.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
Another month has gone by.
Another month. Where did it go, for God's sake? It's my life evaporated before my eyes.
Yeah. I think actually since the last time we got together for that podcast on Nook Camp, wasn't it?
It was Nook, yeah. I had to think about that.
A month's passed by. I went to Ireland for a holiday for two weeks.
Yeah, forgotten that as well.
I've not done much in Wiltshire, to be honest.
No, it hasn't gone unnoticed.
Yeah, I've not been pulling my weight on the Wiltshire front. So it's a good job other people have been.
Well, you could be looking at an early exit at this rate.
Yeah, I might get fired.
notwithstanding that, it's been a pretty busy month. Just sort of looking down the newspapers here.
Well, you do that when you're in your
home. I do,
as well.
I do. Yeah.
Rustling papers
in front
of the microphone.
In my studio. At home.
This studio. It sounds really posh, right?
It's a spare bedroom. Yeah.
With the towel over your head.
Yeah.
The echo.
it's quite windy up here, so I'm gripping my notes here. But yeah, we've done a few walks and stuff, and posted some things. Just looking at my list, Elaine Perkins has been brilliant as always. We really must get her on to one of these recordings, mustn't we? Let's have a twist her arm. So if you go on the blog site, on the website, and also look on the Facebook group, you'll see a little walk that she posted in the Nadder Valley. Where she went to Dinton and Compton Chamberlain, which I think she said she went in June. So I think this one's been festering in her on her laptop for a while. But it's finally hatched, and there is a new blog. I've done a few. In fact, I did another one this afternoon.
Oh, spotted that.
Oh, you have seen it, have you?
Yeah.
And I seem to have gone church mad at the moment. I'm not quite sure where that's all come from. But the first one I did was, I think I alluded to it when we were sitting on the hill above Eddington. up there when we recorded up there.
Yes, you did. Yeah, I remember.
An old Dilton church, which I've been meaning to visit for a long, long time and forgotten all about it. And then I was reminded about it by Andrew Zubinski's book, because he did some work in the church there.
The stonemason.
And I was kind of, when I went, was a little bit of trepidation, because I remember him saying how he went up the road, because you have to go up the road to a cottage to get the key. And when he opened the door, actually no, it must have been the porch. But he said he went in and he heard a sort of noise and a sort of, if I remember rightly, a kind of grunt. And there was a tramp obviously sleeping in there. So when I went in, I was a bit nervous about that. Not that there's anything to be nervous about, tramps or people who, bless them, can't afford don't have a place to live. But I was kind of thinking, what am I going to find in here?
It just reminded me, though, there was a book I read recently. I'll have to ping you the title because I can't remember it now. So we'll put it in the show notes.
That's really helpful.
But it's about a guy who he took a line. Is it longitude? Longitude lines that come down from north to south, or latitude.
One of those.
He got one of these. Yeah. Lines at longitude or whatever.
For north or south.
And he traced it all the way from Hengistbury Head near Bournemouth, which is an Iron Age hill fort, all the way up to Lindisfarne Island.
I think I've read that book.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what it's called either.
And he walked the whole way, basically. Went all the way through Wiltshire as well.
Yeah.
But he just camped the whole way up. Yeah. And I just thought, when you were talking about the tramp, I thought it could have been a guy like that.
Who knows? Yeah, here we are judging again. We're always quick to judge, aren't we?
Yeah.
But yeah, beautiful church and well worth a visit. Unfortunately, parking is almost impossible there. You could probably get a couple of cars there if you're lucky. I managed to, my little thing, I managed to get it up a bank. But there's another sort of couple of parking spaces on the right on the road, between the road and the side of the church. So the church is almost in the road.
On
all of it.
Yeah.
We then did, this one caused a bit of controversy. Stu and I walked Maud Heath's Causeway, which is just to the east of Chippenham. And I must admit, I'd never heard of it until I was just perusing a map one day. And I saw it and I thought, what's that all about? And I looked into it and Googled it and I thought, this looks really interesting. And it was, but it's one of these walks where, Maud Heath Causeway is all a road now. You have to walk on the road. Fortunately, there's a pavement all the way because Maud Heath was this sort of, trying to think of the right word, a benefactor and who made this, left money to build a causeway for people walking from sort of up Brem Hill Way, I think it starts around there, to Chippenham, which she used to do to sell eggs. And because it crosses the floodplain of the River Avon, she left money to raise the level by a series of arches so that people wouldn't get their feet wet and all the rest of it, and through the bogs and the marshes. So there is still money there. All these, I can't remember what it was. It's 1500 when she lived, and there's still money, and they're still maintaining it. But I must admit the pavement by the causeway is a bit it's a bit ropey now. But you can walk without going in the road. But the controversy was caused by on the return leg. So rather than just turning around and coming back along the causeway, we sort of decided to cut across country, and we came across the most horrendous case of a blocked and overgrown footpath that I've ever come across. So I started to get grumpy about the farm and all the rest of it, and it turned out, and somebody put me straight in the Facebook group, thankfully, and said, well, actually, all that land, this is east of Chippenham, has been earmarked for housing development. And I was reading about it yesterday. It's a huge development. So all of that land potentially will just disappear, which is just I know people got to have somewhere to live, but to do it all, put it all in one place, it would be very sad. But anyway, the farm that we had the trouble crossing is actually owned by Wiltshire Council, so the farmer is a tenant.
Right.
And understandably, if he's going to lose his farm, he may not feel particularly motivated to keep footpaths clear, especially when there is an alternative right away pretty close by, which I went back a day or two later and tested it out, rode my bike along there, and it's perfectly suitable. So maybe it's maybe you can't blame the farmer for his lack of motivation. But it was a cracking walk, very, very interesting.
I remember reading about Maud Heath's Causeway at Chippenham Museum, actually.
Yeah.
They've got some information on it in there, and I remember at the time clocking it, thinking, I must walk that sometime.
I think is there a stone or a plaque or something there's a replica of it on the causeway now, and the original was in the museum there.
Could well be, yeah.
But we joined it about halfway along at a place called Kellaway's Arches, because the rest of it involved sort of basically walking along the road into Chippenham. And busy roads, and for the sake of ticking off a couple of landmarks, didn't really seem worthwhile. So we missed that bit out. So as I explained in my blog this afternoon that I posted, which was about Alderston and the two churches, because of the absolutely mad price of petrol and diesel these days, so I've been trying to reduce the use of my car. you're weeping. But you've got a hybrid.
I have, and thank God I have.
I've done a couple of walks in the village, and the first one was just across the fields behind my house to Maddington Church. But some friends of mine who work up at Parsonage Down, they got me into looking for graffiti, church graffiti. So I went to Maddington, knowing that there's a fair amount of graffiti there, and it was terrific. And just looking, really looking at the detail. I mean, talk about hidden. These are things tucked away behind pillars and, on stones outside. So there's a whole blog about that and sort of things to look out for.
You know the Wiltshire medieval graffiti guy?
Yeah.
Again, my memory is terrible today.
I'm
gonna have to drop his name into the notes. I haven't ever met him, but we do chat sometimes over Twitter. But he is coming to do a talk, I think it's next month, at the Bratton History Association. I've sort of in my head thought I must go along to that, because I'd find that really interesting.
Do you think he talked to us for the podcast?
Oh, I'm sure he would if we asked
that'd
him.
That'd be
yeah.
cool, wouldn't it? That'd I be think, really interesting.
Andrew Zeminski recommended we speak to him at some point.
All right. So there's all these things we've got to drop into the show notes. Which one of us is going to remember? Because I'm just looking for a pen in my bag and I haven't got one. So the chances of getting to the end of this.
These are the things that I'm bringing up and I've forgotten. So I think it's incumbent on me to...
All right. But the chances are we'll have forgotten what you've forgotten.
No. All right. A bit younger than you, so my brain cells are a bit more
intense. There's a chance he might retain it. That was Maddington Church. There's a blog about that with lots of pictures.
Yeah.
The one from today, Alderston. Not so much graffiti in those two. And there may even be a picture of the current Mrs. Timlett in there, which she'd be horrified to know, but she'll never see it because she doesn't follow us.
She doesn't even listen to the podcast.
No, she does. She's never listened to the podcast.
My wife doesn't either.
She doesn't read any of the posts. Your wife reads the posts, I know.
Yeah.
She sometimes likes it. But yeah, Julie doesn't. So she'll never know. So unless one of you buggers out there
grass you up.
Yeah, she grass me up, but she'll never know that she's in there. And she hates having her picture taken. She always runs a mile and she always pulls a face. Which she's doing in that photograph. And the other one that, another walk that we did, again, Stu and I did last week, was to Marden, or what it is more correctly known, should be known as Hatfield Henge, which is just on the edge of the village of Marden.
This is another one I'd always thought I'd like to go and see, but it was one of those things that I know where it is and I know about it, but it just, when I've tried to look at it on Google Maps and things like that, it just doesn't look very interesting.
It's dull as dishwater.
I think they've got a street built on half the Henge, haven't they?
Well, there's a road that goes right through the middle of it. Yeah, a bit like Avery, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, in terms of earthquake, I mean, this is the biggest Henge in the British Isles.
Yeah.
So it's just such a shame. They should, I don't know, turn it into a theme park. They should have rides and things there.
Yeah.
But it was more about the walk, because it was a cracking walk. We really enjoyed it. And we went to this, the other feature of the walk was the Hanging Stone, which I think is called the Honey Street Hanging Stone. And then there was the canal. Of course, you could see Woodbury Hill. You could see the White Horse at Pusey Vale, all of this stuff. And there were pubs and cafes galore. It was brilliant. And only the one blocked footpath, but again there was a way round it, and there was two blocked footpaths, one of which I've reported, the other one for reasons which I'll tell you later I've decided not to. But yeah, lovely walk. Really recommend that, and it's easy. It was like 7 miles, but it was pretty much pan flat all the way around.
Yeah.
I imagine in the winter it would be a bit muddy. Anyway, those sort of walks and posts. I'm not sure I've missed one, but anyway. And you've got a Wiltshire Museum guided walk coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, that's on the 11th of September.
Yeah, that's...
So we're doing sort of Devil's Den and the Fifield Down area again.
Yeah. So that's we did that last year, didn't we?
Yeah.
But yeah, you'll be flying solo on that one because I won't be here. I just wanted to mention a few people who I've met on my travels, and I promised I would. So going back to the Maud Heath Causeway walk, we stopped at a place called East Titherton and the Moravian Church, which I'd never heard of. We met two lovely, lovely people there, and I didn't get their surnames, so I'm just calling Adrian the Brush, who was up a ladder when we got there, and when we sort of shouted to him if it was okay to come into what looked like somebody's garden, we were a bit worried about he was going to fall off his ladder because he had no idea we were behind him. And he was a smashing bloke, and we stood and chatted to him for ages, and his photograph is in the blog. So Adrian had heard of Hidden in Wiltshire, but I don't think he'd listened to the podcast. So if he does listen, it was an absolute pleasure to meet you, Adrian the Brush. I hope to see you again sometime. And the other one was a lovely Anne, who actually is the custodian or caretaker of the church, and she had the key and let us in, and I to my eternal regret, I wish I'd got a photograph of her, because she was a terrific lady, and even though she was a bit bashful about having a photograph taken, I'm sure she wouldn't have minded if I had, but she was lovely. So hello to them. I just want to mention Mark Routledge, who runs a little shop in Devizes called Galley Bag of Leather. What a name. Mark is a follower of Hidden Wiltshire. So if he listens to this one, I'll see you on Friday, Mark. But yeah, really nice guy, top bloke. And every time I go in there, we just end up talking for ages. And another Mark, who will be known to people who regular listeners of the podcast, Mark Whelan, or Mark Whelan as I incorrectly called him, but Mark Whelan, who appeared in the Folly Wood blog and podcast, and his photographs on there, and just an absolute top bloke, mad as a bucket of frogs. And apart from being a great sculptor and a sort of a wit and raconteur, he's also a blooming good poet, and we've had the pleasure of writing a little the blurb on the back of his new book, haven't we? which I'm not quite sure when it's coming out, but I think it might be off with the printers now. So we've written something on the back of that. And there's a photograph I took of him on the Follywood walk is on the back as well, apparently. So we will see.
Oh, very good.
And I'm trying to organise a beer to meet him for a beer in Devizes somewhere.
Mm.
But he keeps calling me up, and every phone call lasts about half an hour, and it's just mad. You put the phone down, what the hell happened there? What on earth went on? So yeah, mention for all of them. Okay, so now is the great reveal, isn't it?
Yeah, where the hell are we?
If I can remember, I'll tell you. Well, the views again are just epic, but we are just off the Whitehorse Trail, Wessex Ridgeway, and we are above West Lavington. So unseen below us is West Lavington.
Yep.
And this is a monument. It's a Great War memorial, and it's probably a time to have a wander around whilst we're up here. So this is a little strip of land that was donated by the farmer, and I don't know who the farmer is. And it's just, I don't know how many metres wide this is, but it's down to a memorial and a plaque here. And it commemorates the young men, I guess, of West Lavington who died in the Great War. And it makes very sad reading, stood here in front of this board looking at this list of names here. And then just behind us is a beautiful sort of block of stone where their names are repeated over there. But looking across, you can see Oliver's castle there.
Yeah. And you're pointing at it. And of course,
I am. Again, we're pointing. Nobody, you can see it, but nobody else can. And the White Horse.
I can see Devizes White Horse.
Round way. You can see Furze Knoll.
Imagine
what's going on up there tonight. It sends shivers up my spine just looking at it. Yeah, Furze Knoll and Morgan's Hill. You can see the Lansdowne Monument at Cheryl. And then looking across, I guess we're now looking at the Pusey Downs.
Yeah.
The light is amazing tonight. We should turn off the microphones, shut everything off, and just take photographs, because this is just incredible. There's little patches of light falling on the farms in the distance, which are just parched brown. There's sort of golden light dappling the farms out there. It's just beautiful. And then if we look over to our left, we turn slightly to our left, we're looking over towards what would be Eddington round the corner and Bratton and that range of hills there, and we're looking at the Imber Range, and we're right on the edge of the West Down and Lark Hill ranges and impact area. So we're just outside the impact area.
Yeah, but I mean the panorama is amazing.
Yeah.
There's not many places you can get a view that stretches
no.
like that.
Even sort of south over there. There's a bit of a view there. We can't see east because the massive of the Salisbury Plain is in front of us, obscuring our view. But we have this really otherworldly landscape. We can just about see it from here, but where we park the car, you look across to, there's a place called Brazen Bottom Farm, which if you look at a map, we're pretty close to Brazen Bottom Farm. Which is a deserted farmstead, which is used for training and things. And then you've got this road that goes across the plains, which at times, and I think it's open at the moment, and there are watchtowers all along there. And I was saying to you earlier, it's a bit like a scene from War of the Worlds, and these things marching across the landscape. It is all very weird. But over there, says he, pointing again, that is that Groveley Wood? great ridge.
Yeah, you've got Groverley
way off in the distance.
And great ridge over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can see that huge spine of trees on the ridge.
Yeah. So that's the extent of the views. And if you come up here, there's an old log, well, a tree trunk, which somebody's hacked a bench. And I've been up here a few times, and I've only ever seen one other person here.
Yeah, it's the first time for me, didn't even know it was here.
And you get the occasional vehicle going past on the track, which we saw just now, but it would be a bit more difficult in once live firing gets going again, which it will do very soon.
Yeah.
It'll get very noisy behind us.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed I was up at Nook Camp the other day, and that was full of soldiers again.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, when I walked to Orchestron yesterday, the red flags were up again. Although they're down again tonight, it was a bit odd. I think there was just a lot of stuff moving along the Southern Transit route, a lot of military. They're just driving up and down, so I guess they put the flags up to make sure people didn't get in the way. But anyway, so that is where we are. And there's a little fire over there. There's smoke drifting across the landscape somewhere over towards Wharton or that direction. And I'm just hoping that when live firing starts, we don't get lots more fires behind us on the impact area. Because that could so very easily kick off again.
So, we've warbled on quite a long time, as we seem to do with these monthly podcasts.
Yeah.
Anything else before we move on?
No, I think that's all I've got.
Okay. Well, in that case, we can now move on to the next part of the podcast, which is about the main topic for this week, which is Collingbourne Wood. And I can never say this.
Luggershall.
Luggershall Castle.
Luggershall Castle.
Yeah. So this week the main topic is Luggershall. Oh, that word.
Luggershall.
It's really...
A silent D.
It's a silent D. That's the best way to remember it. But for years I was going, how do you say that?
Ludger.
Sound like Luggershall. False teeth are falling out.
That's right. Maybe they did say that years ago, Luggershall.
Luggershall Castle and Collingbourne Wood. And this is... I put a blog post up about this because I did a walk there probably 3 years ago. I'd seen the castle, you know, having driven through the town quite a few times over the years and seen the sign for the castle. But then one day I did stop and was quite blown away by it. And then I saw another post on Twitter that someone had put up about Collingbourne Wood, and I suddenly realised that you could do a walk that starts at the castle and takes you on a circuit through the wood. And this particular location, it's really far east in Wiltshire. It's right on the border with Hampshire. Almost in Andover, and it's just south of the Hippenscombe area.
I was just trying to remember the name of the road that it's on, and I should know because some friends of ours, you know, as you come off that main road, which I'm going to look up in a minute, which A road it is, and you've got that the little drive that goes up to Luggershall Castle. They live. I think they're the first house at the bottom of that drive. There's a Fats cottage.
Right.
And they've lived in there. Well, their daughter and my daughter were born about a week apart.
Right.
And then they're both coming up 26. So yeah, they've lived there all that, that time. So I should know the name of that road, and I'll have a look whilst you're talking.
Yeah. But so it's just south of Hippenscombe. And actually, the main road that takes you, or the main track that goes through the centre of Collingbourne Wood, if you carry onto it, it takes you all the way out of the wood at the top end and brings you up to Scott's Paw, which is just on the corner of the Shute Causeway.
So the road, I've just found it, it's the A342, which goes from Luggershall over towards Tidworth and that direction. And it's right next to the main road there.
Yeah. But the castle itself, it's like a bit of a hidden gem. And whenever I put photographs of Luggershall Castle up, people always say to me, "Oh, I've seen the signs for that, but I've never actually stopped to have a look." Well, if you're one of those people, do stop and have a look, because it is worth it. It always reminds me of a mini Old Sarum. It's nothing like the scale of Old Sarum, but it's similar in the sense that it's probably, there's a circular ditch around it, which I assume was the old moat. Curiously, half of the castle site and the ditch has got a farm on it. So there's a house and garden built into it, which is quite interesting. But there's enough of the castle left to make it quite a sort of romantic, picturesque area with, you know, ruined walls and an old tower.
It's 11th century, the castle?
I believe so, yeah. It dates back quite some time. And I think they did some archaeology on it and discovered that it was probably built on what was originally an Iron Age settlement that was there. So it goes back quite some time. But yeah, it's got a lot of history.
So I was reading about it on the English Heritage, because it's managed by English Heritage, on their website early on. So late 11th century, built by or for Edward Salisbury, the Sheriff of Wiltshire.
Yep.
And then it passed to the Crown in the early 12th century. The website contradicts itself. It said it was a royal hunting lodge, but then said the woods, which you'll go on and talk about, were too small to be a hunting estate. Yeah. So they thought maybe they hunted just rabbits and hare.
And the woods obviously probably grown and is quite a bit bigger than it was back then.
It was then improved by King John in the 13th century, and then passed to his son Henry III.
He visited the castle quite a few times, apparently.
At least 21 times. And he expanded it and made it into a very lavish entertainment centre, for want of a better word. Yeah. Spa, jacuzzis, all that sort of thing.
Yeah. But eventually it went into rack and ruin, probably around the 15th century. So I think what we're looking at here is around the 1540s, the buildings have been dismantled and levelled over to form the garden of a nearby house, which I assume is the farm.
Yeah, it might be my friend's house.
Yeah. and the tower was kept as a garden feature, apparently. But I think I read somewhere, I think it was on Wikipedia, that it was only moved to being a scheduled monument quite recently, maybe after the war. So I'm thinking 52 or 82. I can't quite remember the date. Yet another thing I'll have to
ever expanding.
It's obviously it's protected now, and it's in the protection of English Heritage. It's one of the sites which is it's not manned, so you can rock up any time of the day or night to have a look around. You do see people occasionally coming up from the town to have picnics and with the families and stuff.
Yeah, I think over 26 years, I'm trying to remember. I seem to remember going up there and having a few glasses of wine.
Yeah. I was there a couple of weeks ago, and I was the only one there on a Sunday afternoon, I think it was. So I did it to myself, and you could see some people had left a bit of litter there. Some kids had obviously gone up there and had a few beverages and left their rubbish behind. But it is a lovely, lovely little spot. But what I did after visiting is I then headed off into the woods. Now Collingbourne Wood, I don't know much about it other than I think it's Forestry Commission.
Yeah.
it's very large, so yeah. It's one of those ones you could spend a whole day walking all over it. It's a good few miles. I think the route I chose was around 7 or 8 miles there and back.
I've walked in there quite a few times with our friends, and Jeremy always takes a rucksack with him and collects just fallen wood in there.
Yeah.
Because he's got a log burner and he's too tight to buy his own wood. he told us recently, he's ever bought wood in all the years they've lived at that house. He just collects it, he forages it in the forest.
Yeah, and you could easily get away with that. I mean, it's so big.
Yeah.
And they do manage the woodlands. So I noticed there were sections of the beech trees that had been thinned out since I was last there about 3 years ago. And when I was there a couple of weeks ago, it had been thinned and there was quite a lot of wood lying around. So
yeah, they, as you say, they do manage it pretty carefully, and there's always something going on there. They're always up there.
Yeah. But the thing is, like,
tidying that.
The thing that always I find quite intriguing is you get somewhere up. What's the name of that big wood up by Marlborough? Savernake?
Westwood or Savernake?
Savernake
Forest.
Yeah, Savernake. So Savernake is like famous. I mean, loads of people go there. I mean, you go there, the car park's always rammed.
Well, so much so, they're talking about limiting access.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And unbelievable. But you go to somewhere like Collingbourne Wood, which is only a few miles away from it. Yeah. Just as interesting, just as big. It's empty. Yeah, nobody there. So that's why I think it fits the criteria of hidden.
Although I suppose it doesn't have, because Savernake has the great grand oak trees, doesn't it? It's huge oak trees.
It does, yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
Collingbourne is more a beechwood, isn't it?
It is beech.
I mean, there are other trees, species in there, obviously, but predominantly a beechwood.
Yeah. But it's funny. I tried to do some Google searching and couldn't find any sort of information about Collingbourne Wood, so it's a bit of a mystery. But apparently it is ancient woodland, which means it's probably been planted up since the 15th, 16th century. And you do get a sense of it being a bit haphazard in terms of the planting.
So I wonder whether it was planted up or cut back. You know, was this an ancient, prehistoric wooded area which has been, which has reduced in size over the years, or was it planted for the hunting pleasure of
who knows,
the king and his mates?
Who knows? I do remember, though, when I went 3 years ago, I went around June time, and the fields that you have to, when I was walking from the castle, you have to walk through a field to get to the wood, and that field was absolutely densely red. It was full of poppies. Yeah. And when I got to the north end, and we'll talk about this when we get there on this discussion, the north end, there were loads of poppies up there as well. But it was one thing that really stood out for me that particular year. The poppies were just everywhere.
Yeah.
But poppies are a bit of a funny flower, aren't they? Because they come up one year and then...
a great year, and then next year nothing.
Next year nothing at all. So, the other thing is that both times I've been in that wood, it's been like really hot days. So you're actually quite welcoming getting under the shade. I sort of went along up into the wood, and then it just became very... you just felt very remote. I remember walking up through these quite densely dense areas of beech tree.
Yeah.
The beeches didn't look that old, actually.
No, I saw from your photographs there were some younger ones. So it obviously is being planted.
Yeah.
And, the woodland being replaced and as it's harvested.
And I remember walking through this beech area, and it was very quiet. There was nobody there at all, near a soul. But then it dropped down onto the main... dropped you out onto the main track that takes you through the centre of the wood, and that's the track that leads up all the way up to the Chute Causeway. If you follow it the whole way, you can't drive on it because it's not a byway at that stage, but it does become a byway further up. But I remember there was a lot of wildlife in there, lots of deer, lots of colour. So there were foxgloves, as I said, there was lots of poppies. So it was a very very interesting afternoon.
It's curious
wall, really.
You say that. I mean, both occasions you've seen almost nobody, because certainly when we've been in there, because our friends until recently had a dog that used to walk in there, and I mean, bear in mind we used to go weekends because I was working and they're still working. There was always people in there, walking their dogs, and they'd be forever stopping and saying, "Oh, hi, Fred, hi, Joe, hi, yeah. Sharon." You know, they were constantly bumping into people that they knew.
Yeah, it's interesting because I did see, before I went into the wood, I did meet some people with a dog, and they were asking me whether I'd lost a dog because they found one running around in the wood. Mm. And I know on the way back down, we did see some people again walking a dog, but those are on the sort of periphery. Once I got deep into the wood, it was really remote.
It's like a lot of these places, isn't it? I mean, people walking their dogs tend to get out of their cars, walk about 250 metres and then go back.
Yeah. But the other thing is the wood itself has got some rights of way that are clearly marked on the Ordnance Survey map, but there are lots of tracks as well.
I was just watching that car. I wondered if it had stopped at the end of the track here. Right. I think it's carried on.
Okay. I've lost my thread now.
I don't know. I haven't been listening. Sorry.
we're talking about
people walking their dogs and things.
And remoteness.
And people not going very far from their cars. Not everybody with dogs, I know, but some.
Yeah, but it's true. I mean, once you got deeper into the wood and off the beaten track, you were at a point where you couldn't drive to.
Yeah.
So you'd only see hardened walkers probably going up far.
Yeah. I'm going to get my camera out whilst you're talking.
Yeah.
Look at that. Just look at that light over there.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Keep going.
So, it was interesting because when I got to the sort of top end of the wood, I was thinking, well, what's the best way to loop back, but go back round a different way. So on the right hand side of the wood at that point, you see on the map a couple of downs and bottoms and things like that, which take you outside of the wood, so you can come down through those. And that's what I did. I came through an area called Shore Down and Shore Bottom, and the views of there were absolutely stunning. I think the first year I went there, it was full of poppies. So if you look on the website, there's quite a few photographs of fields of red.
And there was a hell of a lot. I mean, they were absolutely stunning, those photographs.
Yeah, I also took
the drone shots, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I took the drone up as well and got that up. But what the other thing I noticed, and this is probably linked to what we see over towards Hippenscombe, is they have a lot of feeders for, is it pheasants that we have here in Wiltshire for shooting? Mm-hmm. So clearly it's
pheasants and partridges.
Yeah, clearly it's an area like Hippenscombe itself that's people go shooting around there.
Yeah.
So
just to explain what we're doing, whilst you're trying to keep it together and talk, and I'm taking photographs here. We've got the sun setting over towards Eddington, Bratton Way. So we've got these, they're called specular rays, that come, the shafts of light coming through the clouds. So I'm just trying to get a couple of photographs of that. Just keeps coming and going.
Yeah, get it in quick.
Yeah.
But as you go down through those fields and the rest of it, eventually you do come back into the wood at the bottom end. And that was where I had a very sort of strange experience where I was at a part of the wood that was called Fair Oak Copse. And as I was walking through the wood in the distance, sort of hidden behind trees and branches, I could see this blue tarpaulin. And as I got closer in, it was quite clear that it was some kind of a den. And I was thinking, well, who's built a den here with tarpaulin and stuff? Is it, that's, you know, some kids, or is it someone's homeless? And then all of a sudden I heard a sneeze, a great big sneeze. And I was in this wood. There was no one else around for miles. It was just me and some bloke inside a tarpaulin den about 200 metres away. He sneezed. I thought, I hope he's not a serial killer or anything.
There's no banjos or anything.
No. I was getting a bit worried. And then of course, I had the wind sort of came in my direction and I started to smell these rather fruity aromas.
Yeah.
So whoever was in there was...
But are you sure that it wasn't somebody just vaping? rather than doing something illegal?
It was marijuana. It was marijuana.
Well, we won't ask how you know.
Well, thinking back to my university days, it's a smell that I'd smelled before, let's just say.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Someone was in the blue tarpaulin den getting high.
So you didn't see them?
No, I didn't. I was a bit, I don't know, disturbed, I suppose.
Yeah, you don't really go looking, do you?
Didn't want to go looking. But the funny thing is, though, having gone back this 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was no sign of that den. It wasn't there anymore. But what there was, on about 3 or 4 occasions, there were massive trees that had come down and blocked the path. And I took photos of a couple of them, thinking, oh, I'll perhaps get onto Wiltshire Council to tell them to sort this out. But after I got to about the fourth, I'd lost interest, and I was just clambering over tree trunks. And
So it's you didn't see a pair of legs sticking out from under the trees or anything. He wasn't still under there, was he?
No, it wasn't.
crushed by a falling tree in his stoned stupor.
Yeah, interesting one. But yeah, after you've gone down to the bottom of the woods, then the path starts to loop back. So you're still walking through the edge of the woodland, but you're coming back across some fields to take you back to the castle. But I think the couple of things that struck me, well, the things that really struck me from 3 years ago was the poppies, and the colour, the peace and quiet, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's unusual to find places where you don't come across too many people. And of course, you got me doubting myself then, because you've mentioned a couple of times you've been into those woods and seen loads of dog walkers, and I never have.
Well, yeah. No, this was very much just very close to Luggershall.
Yeah.
And we never went very far. We just did a relatively short loop, because Jeremy was collecting his wood.
Yeah.
If he goes too far, he'd lug it all the way home again.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the route that I put on the website, if you follow it all the way through, it's about 7 miles. Mm. So it's that went up to the top end and then back around.
So actually, I should look on the map, shouldn't I? I'm trying to orientate myself, because you said it was heading towards Shute Causeway.
Yeah.
So that is what, north? So this is, we're looking at a map now.
Yeah.
So there's Shore Bottom.
Yeah. So if you go into the middle of the wood there, there was a road.
Yeah.
You come over that way.
Yeah.
And I think it was called Blackmore Lane.
Okay. Yeah, Blackmore Lane.
So eventually you come up in this bit here in the middle that takes you all the way up to White Lane.
Yeah.
And beyond, if you keep going up, follow that track.
Earthworks there? Oh, Scott's Paw. Ah, now I know where we are.
So that road where we parked when we did the hippie
yeah,
ski
yeah,
walk,
yeah.
That's the one that leads you down into Collingbourne Wood.
Because I'd have, when you said Shute's Causeway, I'm thinking more east. But this is northeast, really, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. That's where the road bends and starts to head north.
I wonder where that was. Because you get to something called Gammon's Farm.
Yes.
Which is, of course, is signposted at Scott's Paw.
Yeah.
Ah.
And this bit here to the right hand side of the woods, which is Shore Down and Shore Bottom. That the views up there are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Quintessential Wiltshire, you know, rolling hills,
yeah.
Farmland. It's all very
dry. And looking at those contours on the map. They're pretty close together, so
yeah, it
shows you
hilly.
How steep sided it is.
Yeah, and it's I mean, the walk itself, there is a bit of climb in it, but it's not very steep, so you don't really feel it. Very gentle slopes.
Next to Collingbourne Wood, you've got Coldridge Wood.
Yeah.
Did you go into that, or oh, that's where you said you heard motorbikes?
Yeah, when I was there the first time, there were motorbikes in that wood. And going back this time, I didn't hear any, but I could definitely see that they've been racing around inside, despite the sign saying no motorbikes. Well,
that's what they do, don't they?
But it's it's a pretty big wood, and not one that many people seem to know about for some reason.
And it's not massive. It's not like Bentley Wood, where there's actually, there are, I was going to say there's not many tracks through it, but there are.
There are.
Yeah.
And some of them are quite overgrown. That's why I think if you're doing it, I mean, when we were coming back down through Shore Bottom that way, back into the woods there, it was really overgrown and nettly and got scratched by brambles and all sorts.
And would it be, in the winter, would it be really muddy? I know the bit coming
parts
out.
Of it would be, yeah.
I know, but the bit coming out of water from Luggershaw into the southern end of the woods, that was quite muddy in the winter.
It's fine right now. Very dry
at the moment. Concrete, I should imagine.
Yeah, but it's very, very overgrown in parts, because that's the thing. When I was coming down on the route back, parts of the wood there, you could clearly see that not many people walk that route.
No.
So it was very overgrown, lots of brambles, nettles. Yeah. You know, you did get stung a little bit going through there. So, but I think that's the problem with wood. I looked online and found that some people had put up another route on a walking website, and quite a few people who'd done it sort of did a review of it, and about three or four of them at least said the path's really overgrown and full of brambles.
I wonder if it's on this new circular walk. I mean, it's a big circuit, the Pusey Vale Way, I think that's what it's called, because
sure we saw signs for that.
Oh, yeah, because that's new, isn't it? And, of course, that swings down through Hip and Scoom.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I heard somebody say that it went down towards...
Yeah. So one of the things that I was thinking of doing at some point is actually going up there with a bike, starting at the castle, but actually going up through the wood and, instead of looping back down, carrying on up to Scott's Paw and doing that whole sort of Hip and Scoom area as well, because that's probably 15, 16 miles in total.
Yeah. The riding chute's causeway is lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. Better than walking along it.
Yeah.
Like we did one sunny afternoon.
Yep. Right.
So I think that's pretty much it on that topic.
Yep.
So we'll be back in a month's time to talk about something else new. Now we've got loads of stuff in the...
Yeah, there's a few, and there's a couple of old ones, I think, which we haven't talked about yet. There's plenty to talk about. The next episode will come out on by my reckoning, the first Sunday in October is the second.
Yeah.
So we'll be recording that from either side of the channel, because I'll be in France again. Well, I was going to say sadly, not sadly at all. I'm looking forward to going.
I said they won't let you back. They'll have shut the borders by then.
We'd have brought up the drawbridge by then. the usual thank you to Steve Dixon. Not seen him for a while, actually. I did get a message from him the other day saying, fancy a coffee.
Yeah, I'd swapped some messages with him recently. Some photographs of Biswood.
Yeah.
Basically, he was doing, I think he's doing some of the boards for Wiltshire Wildlife Trust.
Yeah, that's a bit of an ongoing project for him.
I think Wiltshire Wildlife Trust had given him some of my photos of Biswood, which I'd given to them years ago.
Yeah.
And of course, the ones they gave were not my originals. They were like copies of copies. So I had a bit of a email exchange with him over those.
Well, as you know, Steve's, apart from being a good musician, he's a terrific photographer as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he didn't just go out and take his own. Well, he did tell me he hasn't picked up a camera for a long time. He just shoots everything on his phone now. So thank you, Steve. The bit we used in the middle there is called canopy. Wood, trees, canopy.
Yeah, I get it.
And of course, the bit at the beginning and the end is, as usual, the Holloway. Website will be, we'll have the show notes if either of us can remember what the hell it is we were going to put in there.
I've forgotten already.
And links and stuff. I'm sure there's some other links I was going to put in there. But we've got a few days, so it'll come back to me.
Yeah.
There's still some books, isn't there?
Yeah, still some books. If you would like to get yourself a Hidden Wiltshire book, just head along to the website on the shop section there.
Get them once you can.
Yeah, get them once you can. We do have a limited number left. I think once they're gone, they're gone, because I'm not sure I'm going to be able to use this printer again. They've put on their website, because the thing is about the books are printed in the Netherlands and then shipped over, and I think they've had some major shipping issues with getting stuff into the UK, so yeah. I'm gonna have to find a UK printer, and that's another challenge for another day. So if you want one of these books, get one in quick, because I'm not sure when they're gone whether we'll be able to.
Just as a slight aside, but on in the same vein, I've just ordered a couple of quite small photographic books from New Zealand. Mm. You know, and you trade deal, and you'd think they'd be over here, and it hops, skipping a jump. It's been a month. No sign. They're only little books. They're not more than about 20 pages each.
I remember, the funny thing is, I remember when I first pushed the order on the printer for these Hidden Wiltshire books just before Christmas last year, I got a phone call from the shipping company asking me for some import number or something.
Those numbers, yeah.
And I didn't have a bloody clue what they were going on about. In the end, I had to go to the HMRC website and register for an import ID or something, so I could give it to them and I could get them in. But it's a bit hairy these days getting anything from Europe.
Yeah. Anyway, so. We're getting a bit controversial. Don't get me started.
No, we're going to get complaints again, aren't we? Right.
Oh, we've not mentioned Swindon today, though.
Oh, no, we haven't.
Oh, no, we just did. Or Shames. Amesbury, rather.
Ugh. It's funny, I was thinking about Swindon today because I put on Twitter that I saw these big B-52 bombers fly over again.
That's fantastic.
And I just seen them fly over Trowbridge, and someone popped up and said, oh, just saw those fly over Swindon too. So I thought, oh, here we go, Swindon.
Sorry, my mind was payload for bombs dropping.
And those planes are ancient, aren't they, as well?
God, yeah.
God knows how much fuel they burn. I followed their progress. They went all the way through Wiltshire, across the Isle of Wight, down to the south of France. They spent about 4 hours doing circles in the south of France, then came back over. So,
Well, as you say, because they're so old, just the amount of fuel they must be using.
And the noise they make, you can hear them, you think, oh, here we go, it's one of those B-52s.
We don't get them down here.
No.
South Wiltshire.
I get quite a few of those military craft from Bryce Norton going over Trowbridge. Anyway,
here we are, we're looking at the golden sky, and we'll just look at that. You're going to go and get your camera.
I'm going to take some photos of that.
Yeah, this is fabulous.
Amazing.
We could be here for a while after we finish recording.
Yeah, but of course, when we next record in October, it's probably going to be wet and miserable.
Icicles hanging off our noses.
Right, so anyway, until
enough
next month, goodbye.
Bye for now.